Ready when you are, Sheikh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to our weekly lesson of Kashf al-Shubuhat, the removal of the doubts, with our honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Salim Al-Amri. I will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا Sheikh Salim Al-Amri.
جزاكم الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is the book Kashf al-Shubuhat by the Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. And we reach what the author is saying, refuting the doubts of his opponents. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Shaykh with the hujjah, okay, the ability to crush falsehood by the revelation, by the Quran and the Sunnah. So as you heard and you realized that all the doubts his opponents posed and raised were refuted. And here, another shubha. Because the people of bid'ah, they don't have haqq. They don't have yaqeen. They live their life following doubtful matters. May Allah guide them. When a person is distant from the divine guidance and he seeks guidance in other than the revelation, he goes astray. It's very important, my dear brothers and sisters, to know the sources, the reliable sources from which you can take your deen. And this deen can be learnt only from two things, two sources: Quran and the Sunnah. And understand this revelation as it was understood by the Prophet and his companions, which he taught to his companions, and his companions learned that from him. Because they are qualified with all the necessary tools and devices which to enable them to understand the revelation correctly. Anyone who understands the deen in other than the way the three generations understood it, definitely he will be on the wrong track. So the author here says, وَلَهُمْ شُبْهَةٌ أُخْرَى وَهِيَ قِصَّةُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَمَّا أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ. So here they have another doubt. And that is the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was thrown into the fire. And they mention a story which is based on a hadith, as we're going to know, which is not authentic. قصه ابراهيم لما القي في النار اعترض له جبريل في الهواء. Okay, so now you can see and imagine that the people of Ibrahim, in order to retaliate and take a revenge because he destroyed the idols, so they set a fire, huge fire. No one can get close to it. The heat will burn him. And they invented a tool, the catapult, to throw him into the fire. So Ibrahim was thrown by the catapult, using the catapult. So now Ibrahim is thrown and he is in the air. The narration says, Jibril came to him while he is in the air, falling into the fire. فقال ألك حاجة, do you need anything? Jibril is offering, supposedly that he offered this to him based on the unauthentic narration. فقال ألك حاجة, فقال إبراهيم أما إليك فلا. Ibrahim said, to you, no, I don't need anything. I don't need your help. قالوا, so they use this narration, which is not authentic, as we're going to know. قالوا, they said, the opponents, فلو كانت الاستغاثة بجبريل شركا لم يعرضها على لم يعرضها على إبراهيم. فلو كانت الاستغاثة بجبريل شركا لم يعرضها على إبراهيم. So here, this is what they want to deduce and use as evidence. Say, Jibril is offering his help to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Had this offering and istighatha and seeking help is shirk, Jibril alayhi salam would have never offered such an offer to Ibrahim. فلو كانت استغاثة بجبريل شركا لم يعرضها على إبراهيم. The response, فالجواب. The response to this story, which is not true, but assuming it is true, the response. فالجواب أن هذا من جنس الشبهة الأولى. Okay. Is this shubha similar to the previous one? The previous one that coming to the prophets on the day of resurrection, asking them to ask Allah to hasten the reckoning, which the answer is very clear. Prophets and messengers whose help was sought, they were alive in front of them. So to seek help from someone who's alive and able to help you, that is permissible and no issue with that. So this doubt, this shubha about Jibril offering his help is similar to the previous one. فالجواب أن هذا من جنس الشبهة الأولى. It is from the same genus, the same kind of the previous doubt. فإن جبريل عرض عليه أن ينفعه بأمر يقدر عليه. So the answer is very simple. Jibril offered his help, which he can do. it is within his capacity and ability to help him. Okay. أن ينفعه بأمر يقدر عليه. فإنه كما قال الله عز وجل فيه شديد القوى. It's very strong, Jibril عليه السلام. So he's offering his help to him, as in Surah Al-Najm, Ayah 5. فَلَوْ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَنْ يَأْخُذَ نَارَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَمَا حَوْلَهَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ وَيُلْقِيهَا فِي الْمَشْرِقِ أَوْ الْمَغْرِبِ لَفَعَلَ وَلَوْ أَمَرَهُ أَنْ يَضَعَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ عَنْهُمْ لَفَعَلَ وَلَوْ أَمَرَهُ أَنْ يَرْفَعَهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ لَفَعَلَ وَهَذَا كَرَجُلٍ غَنِيٍّ له مال كثير يرى رجلا محتاجا فيعرض عليه أن يقرضه أو أن يهبه شيئا يقضي به حاجته فيأبى ذلك الرجل المحتاج أن يأخذ ويصبر على أن يأتيه الله برزق لا منة فيه لأحد فأين هذا من استغاثة العبادة والشرك لو كانوا يفقهون. The author is saying that those who justify shirk, they come up with this shubha of Jibril and Ibrahim alayhi salam. Okay, so Jibril offered his help, and the Ibrahim said, "No, to you, no. To Allah, He knows my situation." This story, of course, it is not true. At all. So let us just reflect in the whole thing, and then we'll mention the story and why it is not authentic. So here the Shaykh rahimahullah is saying, so Jibril was able to help, he's powerful as Allah described him, so he could have taken away the fire had Allah permitted him to do so, that the fire, Jibril could just remove it to somewhere else. Had Allah permitted him, Jibril, to do so, Jibril could have taken it and Ya'fudha Nar Ibrahim wa mahawlaha min al-ard, and all what surrounds that fire, including the mountains, and to throw it either in the east or the west. He could have done that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to prove to the kuffar, to the disbelievers, that you throw him into the fire, and you saw him landing into the fire, and he remained in the fire, and nothing happened to him. This is a miracle. And in evidence Allah showed to the kuffar, yet they believed not. Because you see, my dear brothers and sisters, when the hearts are locked, no matter what you try, no matter how convincing your proofs are, they do not see that because they are blind. Let's look at far today. See, Muslim da'is, they debate with them, they expose them, they show them the truth. but they don't see, because they are following their own whims and desires. They don't want to, they are not seeking and looking for the truth. Even when they are debating, their objective is to confuse the Muslim audience. To him, this kafir or atheist, if he manages to confuse one Muslim from all that gathering, this is a victory for him. That's why I mentioned this before and I repeat it. Never ever attend any debates. Don't go to the debates, because what you are going to hear only doubts, shubhat. And sometimes time is not enough to refute every doubt raised. And sometimes the Muslim debater is weak. And he fails to address it very well and to refute the shubha. His weakness to the layman will be considered that Islam is weak. Islam could not answer that question. When in reality, the weakness is due to the person himself, this Muslim debater. Okay. So debates should not be in public. If you want to debate with them, you debate within limited circles. Okay. But in open to the public, and those guys, they keep for 1 hour or 45 minutes throwing doubts into the minds of the Muslims, that's not wise. So my advice for you, because many of those brothers who are involved in debates, they don't listen. Okay, so we have to warn the audience then. So the audience should not go there. So then they will not be able to conduct the debates. So the kuffar, they saw this miracle happening before their eyes, and they believed not. Had Allah Azza wa Jal told Jibreel alayhi salam to take this fire away, or had Allah sent down the rain to put out the fire, the kuffar, they would have said, had it not rained, we would have killed him. Had the wind not blown and put out the fire, we would have killed him. They will come with all these excuses. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he left everything normal. No wind, no rain, nothing. And they managed to capture Ibrahim. And they threw him into the fire. And he landed into the fire and nothing happened. And he remained alive because Allah issued the command to the fire. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. O fire, be safety, safe and peaceful and cool upon Ibrahim. So Allah removed the characteristics of burning. Fire is a blaze, Ibrahim inside, nothing happened to him. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not do anything, no rain, no wind, etc. The had he informed and told Jibreel, Jibreel has the ability to do that. Because as you know, when Allah told him to destroy the town of Sodom, he uprooted the whole town on the tip of his wing and he raised it high till the people and the angels in the first heaven, they heard the screams and the barks of their dogs. They heard all that, then he inverted it upside down. وَلَوْ أَمَرْهُ أَنْ يَضَعْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ عَنْهُمْ لَفَعَلْ. Had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that, oh Ibrahim, save Ibrahim, take him to a far place, far away from them, Jibreel would have done that. وَلَوْ أَمَرْهُ أَنْ يَرْفَعْهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ لَفَعَلْ. Or had Allah Azza wa Jal told Jibreel, ascend him, bring him up to heaven. In the same way he saved Isa alayhi salam, he took him up. He could have done the same thing. But nothing of that happened for the aforementioned reason. Not to give them any excuse to say, had this not happened, had that not happened, if, no. You managed, you threw him into the fire and nothing happened to him. وَهَذَا كَرَجُلٌ غَنِيٌّ لَهُ مَالٌ كَثِيرٌ. So the Sheikh now is going to give you this parable to make this meaning clear and depictable and digestible to understand it, to comprehend it. وَهَذَا كَرَجُلٌ غَنِيٌّ. So this is similar like a person who is well off, a rich man. He sees a man who is very poor. يَرَى رَجُلًا مُحْتَاجًا. He sees a man who is in need. فَيَعْرُضْ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يُقْرِضَهُ. So he offers to this poor man to give him a loan. To give him a loan. أو أن يهبه شيئا, or to give him a gift. يقضي به حاجته, to fulfill his needs. فيأبى ذلك الرجل, the man who is in need, refuses this offer. So what the Sheikh is saying, the man who is well off and rich is here like Jibreel alayhi salam, who was very powerful and he could have helped Ibrahim alayhi salam had he accepted the offer. فَيَعْبَ ذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ الْمُحْتَاجُ. But this man who's in need, he turned and rejected he refused the offer. فَيَعْبَ ذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ الْمُحْتَاجُ الْمُحْتَاجُ أَنْ يَأْخُذَ وَيَصْبِرْ. So he refused to accept the offer and decides to remain patient. إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتِيهَ اللَّهُ بِرِزْقٍ, till Allah provides for him. وَلَا مِنَّةَ فِيهِ لِأَحَدٍ. So he prefers to remain in that state of poverty till Allah provides for him without the minna, which means here someone, when he helps you, he will always keep reminding you, I have done this for you and that for you. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for you, he doesn't say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he provides and he doesn't keep mentioning his help and the favor he did for you. So here the Sheikh is saying, if we accept this story for the sake of argument, Jibreel, Ibrahim alayhi salam said to Ibrahim, to Jibreel, I don't need anything. Okay? I leave my matter to Allah Azza wa Jal, and He knows my situation. So, where is the evidence, or how can you use such argument to say that this is an evidence and proof for the shirk and for the istighatha? The istighatha and seeking help from other than Allah, or from someone who is absent, like the dead, or from someone who is unable to help you, that is the one which is not allowed. But to seek help from someone who is able to help you, that is permissible. فَأَيْنَ هَذَا مِنِ اسْتِغَاثَةَ الْعِبَادَةِ وَالشِّرْكِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْقَهُونَ. So, we said, where is the resemblance? Where is the likeness between what Jibreel offered and seeking help from the dead? Seeking help from the dead, which is indeed shirk. Shirk. Because this person is unable to help you. The dead, they cannot help you. The dead, they do not hear you. فَإِنَ هَذَا مِنْ اسْتِغَاثَةِ الْعِبَادَةِ. Where is this, what you have, what is mentioned here in this narration, and what you practice when you ask the dead? That type of seeking help from other than Allah, from those who are unable and incapable to help you. Alas, لو كانوا يفقهون, had they got any sense, common sense, or any intelligence, or any sense of understanding and knowing the deen, لو كانوا يفقهون. Now, this story is not true. It's not true, though it is mentioned in the books. You find it also mentioned in the books of Tafsir, etc. For example, Imam Baghawi mentioned it in his tafsir, in Surah Al-Anbiya. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in Majmu' al-Fatawa, volume 1, page 183, he said regarding this story, the report which says that when Ibrahim was thrown into the fire, Jibreel said to him, ask of your Lord, ask your Lord for help. And he said, his knowledge of my situation is sufficient. Asking, his knowledge of my situation is sufficient for a sufficient asking. Ibn Taymiyyah said, this narration has no sound isnad, and it is false. It is false. You'll find the Sufis, they keep mentioning this. Sufi, the Sufis. عِلْمُهُ بِحَالِي يُغْنِي عَنْ سُؤَالِي. عِلْمُهُ بِحَالِي يُغْنِي عَنْ سُؤَالِي. His knowledge of my situation. Allah knows my situation. So no need for me to ask him. SubhanAllah. So why did then Allah commanded us to ask him when he knows our situation? See, when you deviate from the way of the revelation, the way of the Quran and Sunnah, because Sufism, in reality, if you study Sufism, okay, it is something new added to the deen. It's not the zuhd, as they tell you. It's not the purification of the soul. It's totally different. It's totally different. So that's why mysticism is there in other beliefs. That's the reality of Sufism or mysticism. Those who are wrongly attributed to and call them Sufis, they're not Sufis. They are from Ahl Sunnah. They are following the Kitab and Sunnah. Okay? And that's why you find them mentioning in their books, our way is the Kitab and Sunnah. So if you call them Sufis, it is unfair you call them Sufis. But the real Sufis, Ibn Arabi, Hallaj, Ibn Sab'in, those are the real Sufis. And when you read the books, you realize. Okay? So anyway, so do you find here this statement, ilmu bihali yughni an su'ali. His knowledge of my situation is sufficient to ask him. So I'm not going to ask him. So why did Allah Azza wa Jal commanded? Why did he command us to ask him when he knows our situation? Yet he commanded us to ask him. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man lam yas'al Allah, yaghdab Allahu alayhi." He who doesn't ask Allah, Allah gets angry with him. You don't ask Allah, Allah gets angry with you. As in the poet said, Allahu yaghdabu in tarakta su'alahu wa bunayyu adam hina yus'al yaghdabu. This poet, he said, Allah gets angry with you when you don't ask him. And the son of Adam, when you ask him, he gets angry with you. So this story has no sound, it's not, and it is fabricated. It is false. Rather, what is proving in As-Sahih from Ibn Abbas, it's the opposite. He said, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was thrown, he said, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. That's what he said. Not that ilmu bihali yughni an su'ali. He said, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is sufficient for me, and he is the best disposer of affairs. With regard to Ibrahim alayhi salam asking of his Lord, Ibrahim in the Quran, he asked Allah many times. He didn't say, my situation is sufficient asking. He asked Allah many times in the Quran. He didn't say, ilmu bihali yughni an su'ali. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said in the Fatawa, volume 8, page 358. With regard to his saying, his knowledge of my situation is sufficient asking, this is false. And goes against what Allah tells us about Ibrahim and other prophets, and how they prayed to Allah and asked of him. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, Ibrahim made dua, the prophets made dua, etc. It also goes against what Allah has commanded his slaves to ask him for, which is the good of things of this world and the hereafter. Such as when they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 201. But among them, Allah's prophet, is he who says, our Lord, give us in this world that which is good, and in the hereafter that which is good, and save us from the torment of the fire. So they prayed to Allah Azza wa Jal and they asked him, and they didn't say, knowing our situations is sufficient asking. They didn't say that. Also, this hadith was also mentioned by Sheikh Albani in a silsila dha'ifa. Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani, rahimahullah, has written two series of hadith. Silsila of hadith sahiha, the series of the authentic hadith. Okay, so you go to that series, many volumes, thousands of hadith sahiha. Then he made another series, which are the weak and the fabricated hadith. So in this series of silsilat al-hadith al-da'ifa, the series of weak narrations, he said, when mentioning this story, it is one of the Israeliyat, one of the Israeliyat, the reports from mentioned in the books of the people of the scriptures, and has no basis in any report that can be attributed to the Prophet. It's not mentioned in any, with any traceable isnad. Some of the Sufis, so this story is not true. Some of the Sufis, Sheikh continues, Sheikh Nasruddin Albani, rahimahullah, says some of the Sufis adopted this meaning, okay, the meaning mentioned in this fabricated hadith, when they say your asking of him is an accusation of him. See how deviant they are? Su'alika lahu ittihamu lahu. If you ask Allah, you accuse Allah. So don't ask Allah. Because when you ask him, you accuse him as if he doesn't know your situation. So just keep quiet. Don't ask. Your asking of him is an accusation of him. Then the Sheikh said, rahimahullah, this is serious misguidance. Very serious misguidance. Would the prophets accuse their Lord by asking him? See? They don't know what is coming of their heads. Because we in the Quran read that the prophets, they ask Allah. So according to your argument and this golden rule you invented, your asking of him is an accusation of him. That means the prophets and messengers who asked Allah, they accused Allah because they asked. And you know Allah better than his prophets and messengers. Come on. So you know the deen better than Allah's messengers and prophets. This shows their misguidance and deviation. And believe me, when you if you sit with them in private gatherings, you will hear these things. You'll hear these things. Don't they say, and they attribute to Rabi'a, Rabi'a al-Adawiyya, that she said, Allahumma inni lam a'buduka khawfan min narika wa la tam'an fi jannatika. ولكن عبدتك لأنك أهل الهداكة. Oh Allah, I did not worship you because I want your Jannah. I have covetousness and coveting for your Jannah, yearning for your Jannah, tama'an, aspire to enter your Jannah. No, I'm not aspiring and not interested in your Jannah. Neither I am aspiring for your Jannah, yearning for your paradise and the heavens, nor I am afraid of your fire. I'm not afraid of the hellfire. But I worshipped you because you deserve to be worshipped. And they say, Allahu Akbar. What Allahu Akbar? Rabi'a knows Allah better than his messengers and prophets, who they were afraid of Allah's fire, and who were asking Allah the Jannah. Subhanallah. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-Jannah wa a'udhu bika min an-nar. Oh Allah, I ask you Jannah, paradise, and they seek your help from the fire. And Rabi'a supposedly she said, if he said that, he was mistaken, and may Allah forgive her, I'm not afraid of your fire. Are you better than Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's afraid of it and who saw it on the night of the Mi'raj, and he saw the Jannah, and he is praying and asking Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-Jannah wa a'udhu bika min an-nar. And don't you know that the Jannah is the way Allah manifests his mercy? That is a way how Allah manifested his mercy. And the hellfire is the way that Allah manifested his anger and wrath. And that's why when the Jannah and the hellfire, paradise and hellfire, they had conversation, talked to each other. And each one is boasting. The hellfire is saying to the Jannah, look to my inhabitants, the inmates, who are they? I have dictators, I have criminals, I have tyrants, I have Fir'aun, I have Haman, I have Abu Lahab, Ubay ibn Khalaf, Namrud. Those are the inmates, those are the inhabitants, the clients. The Jannah. My inmates, the people who are staying within me, who entered me, are the poor, the needy, the destitute. I have Bilal, I have Ammar, I have Sumayya. I have the believers who were executed and killed, the people of Al-Ukhdud, the people of the trench. I have the martyrs. So this conversation was going on. Then Allah told both of them. He told the Jannah, you are my rahmah. You are my mercy. Okay? I shower my mercy on those whom I love, those who obeyed me. And he said to the hellfire, you are my punishment. Anti adabi. I punish by you, whomever I want, whomever I will. And each one of you will be full and will have its fill. So this is a misguidance that they think they know the deen better than Allah's prophets and messengers. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Surah Ibrahim, ayah 37 to 38. He prayed and asked Allah. He didn't say, knowing my situation is sufficient asking. He asked. When Allah told Ibrahim alayhi salam, leave your family near my house in Mecca. And he left Hajar alayhi salam and her son Ismail alayhi salam. And he didn't say anything. And he left. Hajar alayhi salam said, did Allah ask you to leave us here? He nodded. He said, okay, go. He will never desert us. So when he's out of sight, he raised his hands and he prayed to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So Allah said, describing that, Rabbana, this is what he prayed. Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in. عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون. This is what he said. He prayed to Allah, cried to Allah. He said, oh, our Lord, our Rabb, I have made some of my offspring to dwell in an uncultivable valley and planted. Valley, void of any greenery, any water, any vegetation. By your sacred house, the Kaaba. Our Lord, that they may perform a salah in order, our Lord, that they perform the salah, so fill some heart among men with love towards them. And oh Allah, provide them with food so that they may give thanks. And Allah responded. So he prayed, Rabbana, our Lord, Inni askantu min dhurriyyati, I have left my family, my wife, my son, biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in, in a valley that has no plantation, nothing, arid, inda baytika al-muharram, next to your sacred house. Our Lord, liyuqimu salah, our Rabb, in order for them to establish the salah, faj'al afida, please, O Allah, send to them. Faj'al afida min al-nasi tahwi ilayhim. So he prayed to Allah Azza wa Jal, asking Allah that some hearts among men with love should come to them. Tahwi ilayhim. And that's what happened. People came to them. And the tribe of Jurham came and settled in Mecca. وَرْزَقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ, and provide for them with the thamarat, all types of fruit, perhaps that they will be thankful and grateful. And thank you, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Thank Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's why this is the blessing and the barakah of this supplication. You go to Mecca nowadays and say, you'll find all different types of fruit in Mecca. coming from all over the place, all over the world. Then he said in the ayah 38, the ayah to follow, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مَا نُخْفِي وَمَا نُعْلِنُ وَمَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. He didn't say, oh Allah, you know my situation, that is sufficient asking. No. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مَا نُخْفِي وَمَا نُعْلِنُ. Our Lord, certainly you know what we conceal and what we reveal. You know that. And because you know that, I'm asking you, I pray to you. وَمَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Nothing on the earth or in the heaven is hidden from Allah. Is hidden from Allah. So this story is fabricated story, and it goes against the Kitab and the Sunnah. So the author, rahimahullah, is saying that the response to this narration, this story, if we accept it for the sake of argument, that Jibreel offered to help him in a matter that he was capable of, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى. He has been taught by one angel of mighty power, powerful. Okay. So had Allah Azza wa Jal commanded him to do anything, he would have done it to save him, to save Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then the author said, well, nakhtim al-kalam, inshallah ta'ala, because we are reaching almost the end. May Allah accept from all of you. Ameen. وَنَخْتِمُ الْكَلَامَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِمَسْأَلَةٍ عَظِيمَةٍ مُهِمَّةٍ جِدًّا تُفْهَمُ مِمَّا تَقَدَّمُ وَلَكِنْ نَفْرِدْ لَهَا الْكَلَامَ لِعِظَمْ شَأْنِهَا ولكثرة الغلط فيها فنقول لا خلاف أن التوحيد لا بد أن يكون بالقلب واللسان والعمل فإن اختل شيء من هذا لم يكن الرجل مسلما فإن عرف التوحيد ولم يعمل به فهو كافر معاند كفرعون وإبليس وأمثالهما. Pay attention to this paragraph. The Sheikh is saying, let us conclude this book by mentioning an important matter, an important issue that will clarify what has previously been said. And I beg all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, to read this booklet many times and read your notes, read it and understand it, until all the issues and the refutations of all the doubts are memorized by heart. So the Sheikh here is saying this is an important issue, and we will discuss it separately because of its importance. And because many people fail to understand it correctly, the issue of the Tawheed, the issue of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So the Sheikh said, so we say there's no difference of opinion that Tawheed must exist and be manifested with the heart, tongue and outer deeds. The Tawheed is not something that you can hide. It has to be manifested, it has to be shown. The belief in the heart, the sound belief, the correct belief, which you hold in your heart, and that's the most important thing, you know that everything is in Allah's hand. No one can do anything to you. All people are only tools. Everything in this kingdom is run by Allah Azza wa Jal. So when you have sound belief and correct aqidah in your heart, then you live peaceful life. And also then, this belief which you have in the heart needs to be verbalized, needs to be expressed orally through your tongue. So that's why the belief, the definition of al-Iman, ta'rif al-Iman, the definition of Iman, according to the belief of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, قَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ وَاعْتِقَادٌ بِالْجَنَانِ وَعَمَلٌ بِالْجَوَارِحِ وَالْأَرْكَانِ يَزِيدُ بِالطَّاعَةِ وَيَنْقُصُ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ. So the definition of Iman, it is an utterance upon the tongue, that verbal expression. Using the tongue, you verbalize and you say what you have in your heart. Okay. So when a person wants to become a Muslim, he has to verbalize that. And he has to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I bear witness there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. So you have to verbalize, you have to express it, unless you are unable, like someone who's dumb, cannot talk. So then he has to show us either through writing or anything, by any means through which we can know and realize that he believes in that. Okay? Okay. For example, using sign language. If a person who wants to become a Muslim, so then he will not be able to say the Shahada. So the sign language will do. So we explain to him the Tawheed. And then he has to, if he accepted that, he has to show us, okay, feedback. So you have to express it and talk about it. And then it has to be shown on your limbs outwardly, because the belief is something inward, something in the heart. But now it has to be manifested. It has to be shown on the body, on the limbs, prayers, fasting, hajj, jihad, all these things. So that is the definition of al-Iman. So there are three inseparable components, inseparable, cannot separate them. Okay, so the conviction, the belief itself, which is the aqidah, which is a set of beliefs tied in the heart. You believe in Allah, you believe in its messengers, etc. So this set of beliefs, that's in your heart. Then you express that and you tell us about that I believe in this. And that's what the Shahada conveys. And then you have to show what you have in your heart through your actions. That is the real interpretation of it, the manifestation of it in actions. And these three components, they are inseparable. If one of them becomes nil, is missing, then the whole thing is missing. So, in the mathematical form, the Iman equal the conviction, the i'tiqad, the belief, multiplied by the verbalization, the utterance, multiplied by the actions of the limbs. So there are three variables. All these are variables. The aqidah or the conviction can increase and decrease depending on the more knowledgeable you know about these issues of faith, the stronger this faith will be. Then the actions and the utterances can increase. The more you make dhikr, istighfar, reading the Quran, so this can increase. And also the deeds, they can increase. Instead of only praying the five prayers, you are praying the sunan and nafils. And that's why you feel your iman of Ramadan increases, because all these things, they increase. So if any one of them increase, the rest, the outcome, the iman will increase. If any of them falls, decreases, the iman will fall. If any one of them becomes zero, the iman will become zero. If there is no amal, no salah, no siyam, no zakah, no hajj, nothing, except ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna muhammad rasulullah, and I believe in the pillars of Islam and the pillars of iman, but no actions, no iman and no Islam, and this person is not a Muslim, because the iman becomes zero, because no amal. So don't cheat and deceive yourself and say amal is not part of the iman. No, it is part, integral part of iman. If you exclude the amal out of the iman, then you are not following the belief of Ahl-Sunnah. You are following a deviant sect known in the history of Islam as the Murji'ah or the Murji'ites. Okay? And many Muslims, practically, they are practicing that belief. Okay? No salah, no siyam, no zakah, all this good, the a'mal is not there. And everyone is tapping his heart. Iman is here. No, there's nothing there. If there is iman, it will be manifested and shown. So you are a big liar. There's no iman. No iman. Because amal and iman, they go together. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Read the Quran and see, always, they are together. So if you are not praying, forget about it. Don't deceive yourself that you are mu'min. Where is the salah? Where is the siyam? Where is the zakah? Where are the amal? Where is the amal? So you don't have the correct belief. That's why you are in this mess and you think you can be delivered and you can be saved from the fire. Now, you have to understand your deen. Okay? That's why the Sheikh is saying here, this is very important matter and it needs to be dealt separately, because of its importance. So this is something unanimously agreed upon, no difference between Ahl-Sunnah, that this iman and the tawheed and the aqidah of tawheed, the doctrine of the monotheistic belief, must exist and then manifested on the limbs and expressed orally through the tongue. So if one of these matters is missing, a person will not be a Muslim. Yes, a person will not be a Muslim. So if a person knows Tawheed, but does not act upon it. Does not act upon it, upon this tawheed, then he is an arrogant disbeliever. He's an arrogant disbeliever. Subhanallah Rabbil Azeem. That's why the works of this Shaykh, rahimahullah, are very important. That's why he has enemies. That's why there are enemies and people hate him. Because he is telling you what Islam is about. And all the things that he is mentioning in his works are what they were are mentioned in the works of other scholars. And the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the belief of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the four Imams, all these things. So this is what, he is not bringing anything new. So if a person knows Tawheed, but does not act upon it, just it is there, knowledge in his mind, that's it. But it is not interpreted and manifested and shown into actions, then he is an arrogant disbeliever. As was the case with the likes of Fir'aun. Fir'aun, he knew that Musa alayhi salam was right. He knew that. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْخَنَتَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. Okay. They denied it apparently only when they are themselves internalized it. And Iblis knows Allah Azza wa Jalla. And yet Allah cursed him, though he had the belief that Allah is his creator. And others like them. So the kufr and types of kufr, the scholars classify the types of disbeliefs. I hope that you are taking notes and you are writing. Okay, so the types of disbelief, they are as follow. There's a type called kufr al-inkar. Kufr, inkar. So this means that he or she does not believe in Allah at all. So this is the disbelief of denying the existence of Allah, like the atheist. So this is called kufr inkar, or kufr al-inkar. You deny Allah Azza wa Jal and you deny his existence. So you don't believe in him. So this one type of kufr. There's another type of disbelief and kufr called kufr al-juhud. Kufr al-juhud, which is disbelief of rejection. You reject. And here, an example for this type of kufr, kufr al-juhud, or disbelief of rejection. You reject the belief is the disbelief of Iblis and Fir'aun. These are two examples for the two guys, two characters represent this. Iblis, he rejected the Allah's command when he was commanded to prostrate before Adam. And he said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارَ خَلْقْتَ مِنْ تِينَ. Okay. So I'm better than Adam. You created me from the fire and you created him from the clay. And Fir'aun, as Allah said in Surah An-Naml, ayah 14. So this is, so we have kufr al-inkar, you deny totally Allah Azza wa Jal and you negate and deny his existence. Kufr al-ju'ud, you reject some of Allah's instructions or some teachings, like Fir'aun, he claimed, okay, that I am your supreme Lord, I am Allah. Yet Allah says in Surah An-Naml, describing them, Ayah 14, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًّا فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. So the author here is wants to tell us that just to have that belief is not enough. So, I believe. No, it's not enough. And they, the people of Pharaoh, and they rejected them, the signs they saw, and what Musa alayhi salam invited them to. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا, and they rejected them, while their inner selves inside them were convinced thereof, that what is Musa is telling us, inviting us to, is the haq, no doubt. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. Yet they rejected that out of injustice and haughtiness. فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. So see how the end of the corruptors was. What happened to Pharaoh and his people? فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ. Allah scattered them and drowned them in the sea, including Pharaoh himself. And Iblis. Iblis himself, see what it said. In Surah Sad, Ayah 82, Iblis knows Allah. Iblis is not one of the angels. No, he's one of the shayateen. Okay. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنْ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. So he's from the jinn. He's actually the father of the jinn, like Adam, the father of the humans. But he was with the malaika. So, but he was not one of the malaika, he was not one of the angels. And all these stories that he was the chief of the angels, Tawus al Malaika, etc., all these are not true. But he refused to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam. There is a writer, okay? He wrote a novel, of course, Arab writer, defending Iblis, defending him, saying Iblis is a poor guy. Poor guy, huh? So he is the lawyer, okay, defending Iblis. Ibn Arabi, a Sufi, okay, the one who believes in Wahdat al-Wujud, pantheism. He's a pantheist. This is what he's mentioning in his books. And especially Fusus al-Hikam. He said there, Fir'aun was mu'min. Fir'aun was a monotheist because he refused to prostrate before Adam. And Fir'aun also is a mu'min. When he said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, I am Allah. How come? If you understand the meaning of Wahdat al-Wujud, the unity of being or pantheism, everything is God. Everything is God. And Fir'aun is something. So he is God. So he's saying, I'm God. So he discovered the haqiqah, the reality. That is what is mentioned in the aforementioned book. So Iblis was not an angel. He was with the angels. And Jibril himself, Iblis himself was with the Malaika. And he knew and realized that when Allah, because those who are defending Iblis, they're saying, why Iblis should be blamed? Because Allah is saying, وَإِذْقُنَّ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجِدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. The command was not issued to him, to the Malaika. Iblis himself didn't use this as an excuse. He realized, Iblis, that the command includes him because he was with them. And he didn't say, oh my Lord, you did not ask me to prostrate. You asked the angels only. He didn't use that argument. What he used, I'm better than him. I'm better than him. You created me from the fire and you created him from the clay. So how come you ask me to prostrate before him? So that Allah cursed him for that reason. And yet see what Iblis says. In Surah Sa'd, ayah 82. Qala, fabi'izzatika, la'ghwiyannahum ajma'in. Satan said, by your glory, by your might, fabi'izzatika, by your glory, I will certainly mislead them all. Then, after he said that, the ayah to follow, this is ayah 82 of Surah Sa'd. After he said this, Satan said, by your glory, I will certainly mislead them all. He realized, not all he can mislead. So he made the exception. And he said, Illa ibadaka minhum al-mukhlasin. Illa ibadaka minhum al-mukhlasin. Except your chosen servants among them. I cannot do anything to them. So that is the second type of the kufr, or the kufr of juhud, disbelief, of rejection. The third type of kufr is kufr al-inad. This kufr, which is based on stubbornness. A person is so stubborn. He knows the haq, and yet he is a stubborn, doesn't want. This is called kufr al-inad. Disbelief due to stubbornness. An example for this is Abu Talib. Abu Talib, he knew and realized that the message of the Prophet ﷺ is the true message, and the deen of the Prophet ﷺ is the true deen, and his son, the Prophet ﷺ, is a true prophet of Allah, Azza wa Jalla. So he knew that his nephew, the Prophet ﷺ, is a true prophet. And he made it clear. He said it. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ. I have realized and discovered. أَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ. The deen of Muhammad, the religion of Muhammad. مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ. Is the best deen of all the deen of mankind. And yet he refused, out of this stubbornness, to leave what his forefathers were upon. And he was dying, as you know, the Prophet ﷺ came to him and begged him and asked him many times to say La ilaha illallah. Abu Yahl around him and others, they told him, Araghibun anta an millat Abdul Muttalib. Are you shunning and leaving the deen of Abdul Muttalib? And he, the last thing he said, I am upon the deen, the religion of Abdul Muttalib. The Prophet ﷺ said, I will pray to Allah as long as he doesn't stop me. Immediately Allah revealed to him that you cannot pray for your uncle. And Allah sent down, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. You do not guide whom you like, but Allah guides whom he wills. And the other category, so we have now four categories. Kufr al-Inkar, and this is to deny. Kufr al-Juhud, reject. And then Kufr al-Inad, this which is based on stubbornness, like Abu Talib. And then the fourth type is Kufr al-Nifaq. Kufr al-Nifaq. This type of Kufr is the Kufr of the hypocrites. The disbelief of the hypocrites. You show something and you hide something. You pretend to be a Muslim and you conceal the opposite. So you reveal Iman and pretend that you are a Muslim when in reality you are not. You are not. So we will stop at this point. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala immensely, and may Allah elevate his status in Jannat al-Na'im. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen till we meet Allah Azza wa Jal, and He is pleased with all of us. Ameen. And may Allah unite our ummah on the haq and unite our hearts on the haq. Ameen. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allahu khayra. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير شيخ. إن شاء الله we'll take some questions and answers from the brothers and sisters. Those who have questions, please send them in on the chats or raise your hands and we can take them verbally, inshallah. So those who have inshallah. So we have received some questions already. Let us begin. Alhamdulillah, I have started taking lessons in Arabic grammar online, but the Ustada is telling us to be in a state of wudu and in Qibla direction. Is it bid'ah? Shall I continue learning from such a person?
What did the teacher say?
The questioner has begun to start study the Arabic language, and the teacher is advising her to be in wudu and facing the Qibla.
In wudu, in the study circle?
Yeah, while studying, taking lessons in Arabic grammar online. Online, this is, by the way.
Online?
Yeah.
Manners and adab. The scholars, they mention the books that the students of knowledge, when they sit in front of the sheikh, they sit as Jibril alayhi salam sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, putting his hands on his own thighs, and these are etiquettes, these are adab, and be in state of tahara because you are surrounded with malaika, angels, okay, and you make siwak and you look presentable. And these are etiquettes. These are etiquettes. So he didn't ask you something wrong. Is this clear?
Yes, clear, Sheikh, inshallah. We'll take the next question. if one has the means to sacrifice the udhiyah, is it fard on him to make sacrifice? What if he decides not to? Will he be sinful?
Before I answer this question, I want you to imagine yourself in front of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he is telling the Muslims, and you are one of them, من كان ذو سعة على أن يضحي ولم يضحي فلا يقربن مصلانا. He who is well off financially, he can afford buying the udhiyah, the qurbani, and he decided not to do that. ولم يضحي فلا يقربن مصلانا. He should not come to the Eid and he should not participate in Eid with us. Are you going to offer the sacrifice or you will still insist not to do that? I don't think so. A Muslim who hears this from the Prophet and he is well off and decides not to do that, leave alone the reward of the udhiyah. So that's why Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, in the Hanafi madhab, the udhiyah is wajibah, obligatory. If you don't do that, you are sinful. You are sinful if you are able. If you are not, the Prophet ﷺ, he slaughtered two sheep, two rams, and said, this one for my family, this one for those who cannot afford to do so. So my advice for this questioner is to slaughter the sacrifice because you are financially able to do that. Is this clear to the questioner?
Yes, Sheikh, that is clear, inshallah. We'll go to the next one. What about if someone lacks knowledge or forgets and he was planning to offer the udhiyah, but he shaved his hair? Can he still proceed?
Yes, he can. He can proceed, yes. Next.
The next question. Okay, we are getting closer to Eid Eid. Yeah, we are getting close to Eid. But the expenses are much more and the money we have is not enough for both slaughtering and shopping for children. Can we omit one? And also, if someone has more families, is it okay if he just slaughters only one family?
Slaughters one family or slaughter one sheep for one family?
One sheep for one family, sir.
Okay. So yes, it is the one sheep is enough for the whole family if they are living under one roof. Okay, in spite of the number of the family. Okay, so it is enough. One sheep is enough. Yes. Is it clear?
Sorry. Yeah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Alhamdulillah, thanks to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with 5 healthy and intelligent children. For the last 2 pregnancies, I suffered anxiety and depression to the extent that I had to take medicines. But alhamdulillah, after delivery, it diminishes slowly and I become back to normal. My father advised me not to have any more children. But I want to have more children based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I fear that anxiety and depression returns. Sheikh, please shed some light according to the Quran and Sunnah.
Alhamdulillah, may Allah Azza wa Jal bless your children and may Allah bless you with more. Amen. And may Allah Azza wa Jal save you all the suffering which is associated with the pregnancy. And the advice of your father is not recommended to be followed. So after you breastfeed the child for 2 years, and your health is okay, and the doctors, they tell you there's no risk for you to get pregnant again, then you should not stop having children. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he told us to have more children. تَزَوَّجُوا أَلْوَلُودَ الْوَدُودَ فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمْ الْأُمَمِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So marry those women who have love in nature and they are prolific, because I want to feel proud of you. I want you to outnumber the number of the other nations on the day of the resurrection. And just keep praying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves you from the depression and the anxiety, which is, you experience that normally, it is associated with pregnancy. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your pregnancy easy and free from all these symptoms and all these sufferings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save you from all that. Ameen. Is this clear to the question?
Sheikh, next question. Sheikh, are there du'as that the Prophet ﷺ used and we cannot use in their entirety? For example, some say that we cannot recite the full du'a used by the Prophet ﷺ when he was sent to Fir'aun.
When he was sent to Fir'aun?
Prophet Musa, when he was sent to Fir'aun.
Okay,
I'll repeat, Sheikh. Sheikh, are there du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used and we cannot use in their entirety? For example, some say that we cannot recite the full du'a used by Prophet Musa alayhi salam when he was sent to Fir'aun.
Which du'a they are referring to?
They did not mention that. Question I can write in, inshallah.
If they are referring, for example, to say, when he said, وَاجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِنْ أَهْلِ هَارُونَ أَخِي, if they are referring to something like that, of course, you cannot say Harun, because Harun is the brother of Musa alayhi salam. But the ad'i of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I'm not aware that there is a dua you cannot say. So the questioner can make it clear, then I will answer accordingly, inshallah. Next.
Okay, next, Sheikh. What would be the reason for these old and younger da'is, so-called callers of Islam, to undermine our great scholars like Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab? Such critics cause doubts in people's hearts.
There are people talking about Ibn Taymiyyah?
They say younger so-called da'is.
Okay. What to say? May Allah guide them. Okay. Remember the three spans? Remember that? The knowledge three spans, so they are in span one. So they think they are, mashallah. They know everything. This is basically the boils down to jahl, ignorance. Okay? So they should be advised. And if they are stubborn, then they should be exposed. And people should be warned not to listen to those fools. Okay? Those who do not know their limit, to talk about the giants. Who are you? It's very strange. And nowadays, the internet made everyone a scholar. Okay? You have your own podcast and Allah musta'an. And people, they listen to them. Okay? So please, my advice for you, Do not encourage them. Don't listen to them. Don't give them thumbs. Okay? So they will realize no one is listening to them. Then they have to go and learn their deen. Learn the deen. To talk about the scholars and the ulama, and it shows lack of deen, lack of iman, lack of taqwa, all that. Okay, for example, you see a young boy, okay, yesterday he was smoking weed and in the nightclub, and now he's talking about Abu Hanifa is mistaken, Malik is mistaken, mashallah. Mashallah. You became imam. You reach the level now where you can criticize these giants, huh? So it is lack of knowledge. So just don't listen to them and don't encourage others to listen to them. They have to go and study and learn the deen first. This is my advice. Next.
Okay, Sheikh, we go to the next question, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. If I heard you well, Sheikh, it was the Sufis that said asking Allah is the accusation of him? Question mark.
Yes, some of them, they say that. Su'alika lahu, ittihamun lahu. And that's why Sheikh Nasr, Din al-Albani, he mentioned that. Not all of them, some of them, they say that. Okay. And when we are talking about the Sufis, we are talking about those who are deviant ones. Because if you are saying, no, I'm a Sufi, I'm following Kitab and Sunnah, I say, you are not Sufi. You are following Kitab and Sunnah and you are the right Muslim. Because that you say I'm Sufi, you mean I focus on the issues of the heart and the tazkiyah. I say, that is acceptable. But we disagree only that you use this name. And when we are criticizing, we are not talking about you. We're talking about those who are deviant and call themselves Sufis. And in reality, they are the real ones. Like Ibn Arabi, Hallaj, Ibn Sab'in, etc. Is this clear to the questioner?
I mean, it's a long shot.
Naam, it's clear, Sheikh. A brother on a wheelchair, it is very hard for him to move and perform ablutions. What is the ruling on his situation?
If he cannot perform wudu himself, somebody else needs to help him to perform the wudu. If he's married, his wife, or his mother, or a father, someone needs to help him. Okay, to perform the wudu. If he cannot perform wudu by himself. Next.
Next question, Sheikh. What are some of the du'as used by different prophets? And we cannot... Okay, this is already covered. Okay, I think they've given us a little bit more detail. Okay, what are some of the du'as used by different prophets and we cannot use in the entirety? For example, some say that we cannot recite the full du'a used by Prophet Musa alayhi salam when he was sent to Fir'aun. Rabbi ishrah li sadri wa yassir li amri.
Ya wahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli waj'al li waziran min ahli Harun. This I explained. You cannot say Ali Wazira min Ahli, that portion you cannot use. Because you don't have Harun, your brother, and your prophet, and he will be your minister. Okay. Next.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. That was our final question for today, inshallah, if you'd like to conclude.
Barakallahu feekum, jazakum Allahu khaira. And the coming class will be Monday, day of Arafah, but we'll continue, inshallah, right?
Sheikh, it is your class. If you say so, inshallah, we will continue.
I have no problem. We'll continue, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal accept from all of us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds and your deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your deeds in this beautiful 10 days. So don't waste them. This is a chance for you to do a variety of righteous deeds, whether fasting, reading, istighfar, takbir, tahleel, all that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen till we meet him and he is pleased with all of us. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Fi hifdhillahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.